Inauguration Day upon us, 24 hours plus. On his way is United States Congressman of the 2nd District, Andrew Garbarino. We welcome him en route to that inauguration as we speak. Sir, how are you? We thank you so much for 2 minutes.
Absolutely. Good morning, Jay. Glad to be here.
It is great to have you. Keep your eyes on the road now. Turnpike Memorial Bridge, you're on your way south. How's the traffic on the turnpike right now?
That's great. We left at 5 a.m. this morning. There was no traffic. I think it might have been the quickest I ever got off of, got out of New York. A little over an hour. Now we're on the Jersey Turnpike heading south. Should be in D.C. around 10 a.m.
Good. Beautiful. We look forward to the arrival safely and everything else. All right. So we had on Congressman Garbarino. We had on Congressman Swazi yesterday. He gave us some account of the events of January 6th at the U.S. Capitol. Give me an idea, an assessment on your end. What were you feeling and everything else? I'm assuming you were in the chamber or thereabouts. Give us an idea on that dreadful day.
I was actually, I was not in the chamber. I don't know if Tom, Congressman Swazi went over with it, but prior to the breaching of the Capitol building, we had already been, members who had already been in lockdown because of exterior threats, pipe bombs, just the amount of people that were there. Two buildings had been evacuated prior to the assault on the Capitol. It was due to COVID, there's only so many people that can be in the on the chamber at one time. So when I was on my way over, is when we got the exterior lockdown, and I was sent back to my office. I know Congressman Swazi, as well as I think Congressman Delta, were both on the floor. They were there early because they had speaking roles. But yeah, it was sitting in your office watching the, because we have a live feed directly into the chamber, and we had already been locked down, watching the live feed, and all of a sudden they rushed Speaker Pelosi and Steny Hoyer out of the building or out of the off the floor, and then you can see them putting the Capitol Police at every entrance, and then the screen went to one of those we'll be right back technical difficulties, and then we got a text within 10 seconds, an emergency text saying interior breach, lock your doors, stay quiet. That's when it was, because it went from peaceful to the assault in no time. It was very, I was outside, I think at 12:30, and it was just nice feel. Everybody was all right. I was going from one building to the next, and then by 1:30, it was out of control. It was, people were calling me, asking me if it was as bad as it was on TV, and I said it was worse, and it was. You could hear them shooting the tear gas canisters from the windows. It was definitely scary at some point.
You know, they give you video now on a daily basis, new video, and yesterday no different. You know, you see these guys going through the halls as if it's a hotel and it's their right, banging on doors, opening the. I mean, it's unbelievable. Opening the chamber itself, having their way in and around. Incredible. I mean, I can only imagine, what you were thinking. Your door is locked. You're in your office. You're looking at the monitor. You're wondering, what the heck am I going to get out of this thing? I can't even imagine your thought process at that time.
Well, the scary thing is there's 2,000 Capitol Police officers, all well-armed and well-trained, but the Capitol complex is just so big and there's so many entrances that they have to protect. And the fact that the building was taken over as quickly as it was, with not just the speaker inside, but you had the vice president, and in the line of succession, you had the second, third, and fourth people in line of succession in that building. And it was taken over as quickly as it was with all those members in that building. That's what's scary. And at this point, now you hope. The House Administration Committee, along with the Sergeant at Arms and the Capitol Police Chief, can work to better barricade that building, because I mean, the state capitol in Albany has better protection in some of the entrances than the U.S. Capitol.
Listen, you're right. I mean, I even made reference of the traffic court in Hop Park had better security than what I had seen as far as that. I mean, really, you go through metal detectors galore trying to pay a traffic ticket, and you got to get past about 10 cops to get to the window. I mean, it's unbelievable what we had seen in the last couple of weeks. Quite a scene. And now you embark, and you'll get there in about 2.5 hours. I mean, you know the deal. The 25,000 troops, the U.S. Marshals, the Capitol Police, everybody on hand, 30,000 plus of security. You're going to see fences, bridges, you know, guards. You're going to see a perimeter of security within. I'll tell you, it's going to be quite a scene, and I'm sure you're prepared for this at around 10 this morning.
Absolutely. We were already we were down for the votes last week, the impeachment move, and they were already setting up fences, putting razor wire up. The National Guard was already, not all the troops, but a lot of them were in, armed troops at every entrance of all the different buildings. You can't even get into the Capitol, I think, from outside anymore. You have to get in, you have to get to the Capitol from, one of the office buildings, underground. There were troops inside, there were troops outside. They have street closures. I mean, the traffic alone, I think that's why everybody's working from home. They had us, they have us having our staff. They highly recommend that everybody has, start working from home starting Friday all the way through Thursday this week.
Talking with, ladies and gentlemen, Congressman Andrew Garbarino of the 2nd District, en route to the nation's capital, obviously getting ready for the inauguration. Quite an indoctrination for yourself. Congressman G, you know, you're thrown right into the mix. You got the siege on our Capitol building a couple of Wednesdays ago almost. You also have the impeachment trial, the vote, the objections, 232-197. You had 10 flips as far as GOPers into that mix. Just for the points to put out there, give the audience an idea, A, in favor, not in favor of the impeachment of this current president, and the vote as far as the Electoral College, objections raised, would you have been one of them, sir?
You're right, though. It was like baptism by fire the last 2 weeks. But the certification vote, I voted to certify the election. I was one of, I think, 60 Republicans vote to certify. Not because it was pro-Trump or anti-Trump. It was just the role of Congress. I was lucky to have former Congressman King to speak to. I was also very lucky to speak to Congressman Zeldin, who's been a very good friend for 8 years. He was a great sounding board. With the objection vote or the certification vote, there were constitutional arguments on both sides. You know, this was not the first time a presidential election has been objected to. I think the Democrats have done it for every Republican president for the last 20 years. They've objected to at least one state. There are arguments, and very good arguments, to have objected, but I came down on the other side. I voted to certify. I didn't think it was, you know, based on what was sent to us, and my belief, Congress's role is in the certification process. It wasn't our availability to overturn the election. And even if I came out on the other side, they were never winning the vote because Nancy Pelosi controlled the House. So even if we were on the right side of the Constitution, Pelosi was never going to let it happen. But as for impeachment, I voted not to impeach. I think, as you just said yourself about the videos that are coming out, new information is coming out every day. You know, the Democrats came out and said, you know, we have to get the president out of office right away. We can't let him stay one more hour. But then they admitted that they weren't going to get him out of office, and they pushed ahead with the impeachment anyway. And there was no hearings. They had no, there were no committee hearings. There was, everything was, the information wasn't fully vetted. We didn't get to, we didn't find out everything. We didn't have all the facts. And, you know, they're of the opinion that they can impeach the president after he's out of office. So if they're of that opinion, then they should have waited until all the facts were had. Because now what they've done is they have completely, in my opinion, politicized the impeachment process further than what they had done. And now any future impeachment, they've set the precedent where, you know what, we think we know what happened. We don't have to have hearings. We have the votes, so we don't need the hearing. That's what they did. They had the votes. So they didn't care about having hearings or doing anything else. They knew they weren't actually going to impeach him and remove him from office, but they did it anyway. And now the precedent that said this should be, impeachment should be a serious, well thought out process that should be the last resort. And I think with what happened last week, with the process that was done, it set very bad precedent. I wouldn't be surprised if you now have a member of Congress on either side filing impeachment and articles of impeachment resolutions, you know, every year. And when they do that, an impeachment article resolution, it's a privileged resolution, which means it has to be put up for a vote. It doesn't go to majority rules. So if a minority member puts it up, it has to go to a vote. It's just, impeachment should be a serious thing that's not used often, and I'm very scared that this precedent is now going to mean that it's going to be used a lot more.
And let's not forget, you know, the play here as well, one could think, is to not only vote as the House did to go ahead with impeachment. We'll see what Nancy Pelosi does about sending the articles to the next level. But in essence, you know, you wonder if they're doing this to get to step two, which is to convict, so that this individual does not run again in 4 years, because that's also coming into mindset right now, too.
Absolutely. You know, that seems like one of the games, the end game here is to prohibit the current president from running again in 4 years. I'm not sure if he will or not, but, you know, we live in a democracy. In my opinion, if he wants to run again in 4 years, it's up to other people to defeat him. We shouldn't ban him from running. It should be up to, you know, if he runs and wins, then the majority of Americans have spoken at that point. He won. If he runs and loses, like this past election, then, you know, again, democracy at work. We're going to have a peaceful transition tomorrow of power. I don't think, as of right now, they'll convict. I think it was a very based on the articles of impeachment only. They only based it on his speech that day on the 6th. You know, I don't know how you charge him with incitement when some of these guys pre-planned everything. That the people that attacked the Capitol, they did. You know, they had pipe bombs made. They had zip ties to, you know, these were pre-planned. These terrorists that attacked the Capitol that day planned on doing this ahead of time. They were going to do it whether or not there was a speech. You know, I don't think the Senate will convict. There's questions as to whether or not they can do it anyway after he's left office. Who presides? We are in uncharted territory right now.
You could also make the case, you know, some will think, listen, this guy fanned flames and kind of, you know, lit the wick somewhat under the radar with some underlying tones. Some can absolutely say that was the case here. So, you know, you got both sides, Congressman, as far as, you know, the start of it all, so to speak. But you can certainly understand that, right?
Absolutely. Listen, there never should have been a rally that day. They were never, like I said before, they were never winning the vote. They were never going to change what happened. Joe Biden was being certified that day because even if they were 100% right, Nancy Pelosi had the vote. So there never should have been the message out there that things that day were going to change, because the math wasn't there. Even if they were right on every issue, they didn't have the votes to win. And, you know, that's how math works. You need a majority of votes. So there never should have been a rally. And everything that came from that rally, yes, I mean, there is partial blame. And I said it, there's partial blame on the president. We should not have had that rally that day. That was not that was not the way to handle the issue.
What's a guy like you thinking now? Because, listen, you got all kinds of theories, all kinds of reports. You could have some individuals who work inside that building who are lawmakers, who are congressional leaders in their own right, could be packing as far as any type of weaponry. Some reports, you hear that. You hear about possible infiltration of the National Guard. As far as tomorrow's concerned, there could be some imposters, so to speak. What does a guy like you think, again, embarking on this new day and age for yourself, and all this going on literally with January 3rd, I believe you were sworn in. Here we are on the 19th. A lot has happened in 16 days, but this is kind of an event of a lifetime and everything else. I can't even imagine what you're thinking going into this thing now.
Well, you know, I have complete faith in the National Guard, that they're the complete faith in the Metropolitan Police, the complete faith in the Capitol Police, the Sergeant of Arms, everybody to keep us safe, the Secret Service. I fully believe that there will be peaceful transition tomorrow. Will there be demonstrations? Absolutely. There's demonstrations at every impeachment. I mean, at every inauguration. There's always demonstrations. Someone's side lost, and someone's side is going to be there in protest. That happens every. But I have full faith that things will go forward peacefully tomorrow. As for members carrying guns, members have always carried guns in the Capitol complex. It's been a violation of rules to have them on the floor in the chamber. But you know, members have carried. I will not carry. I think the 2,000 Capitol Police officers that we have down there are like I said, well trained. But it's not against the law, and some members feel that they want to carry. They're right to carry. But you know, as of right now, it's against the House rules to have them on the floor of the Capitol. And right now, Speaker Pelosi put in metal detectors for all the members to go through onto the floor of the Capitol. Except for her. She doesn't have to go through it. Everybody else does. Which, in my opinion, is, you know, I don't understand why you're now manning these when we need the Capitol Police officers outside guarding the entrances and everything going on outside. You now have 15 to 20 Capitol Police officers working these metal detectors inside that are solely meant for members of the House of Representatives. So I think they're taking people who would be better used outside and putting them inside. They're misusing the officers in that situation. I think most members don't carry. We don't need them policing us on the inside. We need more protection outside, as we saw on the 6th.
And right now, that place is like Fort Knox, without a question. Andrew Garbarino with us, Congressman Garbarino. Speaking of Pelosi, she's lethal in her own right, no question. Now, listen, there's a lot of toxicity there. You know that. There's a lot of division in the impeachment. You know, a lot of people will say, you go ahead with this, you create more of the divide. A couple of parts to this one. A, have you met Pelosi yet? Do you feel the toxicity involved as far as, you know, just the overall feeling there? And do you get a positive feeling with this new administration, Congressman, that the gap can be closed somewhat there? Let's go to Pelosi first. Have you met her? And can you feel a little bit of the negativity involved here?
I have not met her one-on-one. She did come when we had a new member orientation. She came and addressed the members. She spoke to us all. But I've not met her personally. So again, there is toxicity there. You hear it. There are members. They just it's similar to what I came from in Albany. There are members of the other side of the party that hate me because I'm a Republican. Just like, you know, there are extreme members of the Republican Party that hate Democrats because they're Democrats. I saw it in Albany. It's the same down in Washington. But there are like-minded people, or not like-minded, but reasonable people on both sides that are willing to work together to move the country forward. A lot of them are members of the Problem Solvers Caucus. I actually just got word that notification that I have been accepted into the Problem Solvers Caucus. I know Congressman Blasey is a member. It's that group that 56 members, 28 Republicans, 28 Democrats, that work together. They were a big part of doing that second COVID relief bill in December, getting that done. So I think at the end of the day, there are, there's always going to be somebody that hates the other side or just because of what you are. But there are a lot more people down there that want to work together to produce for the country, to make sure the country is on the right track.
It was very, I tell you, I did get a chuckle out of it, but I really kind of admire the ride you've been on, especially literally when I say the folks, the Garbarino clan actually took up their son for the swearing in. And it kind of reminded me back in the day of maybe heading to college or whatever. And the folks, everybody saw me off and whatnot. I think there was a mention in the paper I read of maybe going to one of the stores and make sure you're buying the supplies and everything else. But that's interesting, right? I mean, here you are, a journey. It's almost like going to sleepaway camp, right? The folks saying goodbye and whatnot. Not only that, I always remember back in the day, I had a brother, a cousin, when I went to a camp. It was great to have. Somewhat similar to what you have possibly in Tom Suozzi and Lee Zeldin, not to mention a pretty good mentor in Pete King. Quite an experience there from what I read. I got a little bit of a chuckle, but in a very good way in the last few weeks.
Yeah, I was, when I was thinking of the reporter, and I said it was, going down with my parents and my brother, and we had to bring down a whole bunch of stuff to move into the office in the Longworth building where I am. It did feel a little like going to college. That was the last time I went down to D.C. with my parents. I went to school at CW. We were moving into, back in 2002. We were moving into campus, so it was weird. I did say that. I thought it was almost like sending him to Costco to pick up supplies, but I didn't. I'm very excited, even though it has been a different than I think what anybody would have imagined for the first couple of weeks. I'm excited to be down there. I'm excited to be working towards good things for the members of the residents of Long Island, the 2nd Congressional District. Having Lee down there, being down there with him is great because I was in the State Assembly when he was in the Senate. We worked very closely. I probably speak to Pete King almost every day. I'm so happy to have his guidance and to have him as a sounding board. And I think he has a little fear. He called me, he's like, "Oh, what's going on?" I love talking to him. He's just been so helpful. But I'm excited to be in this chapter and to continue all the good work that he's done, as well as to expand on that and to work on some things that are dear to me. Even though it's been a crazy 2 weeks, I'm excited for what's there in the future, what we can get done.
Two quick ones for you, and I'll let you go. The one thing, well, let's get to this. For the 2nd District here on the island, Congressman, what is at the top of the charts for you? What do you want to see done for Long Island representing this district? What would you like to see accomplished in the next couple of months?
Well, right now, listening to what President-elect Biden has said, he's talking about doing another $1.9 trillion COVID relief bill. If something is done in that, I don't know. That's a very large bill. I think it might be the biggest relief bill ever done. I'd really like to see what his plans are, but. Money for local governments, these towns and counties that are hurt through no fault of their own due to COVID. Small business relief, not just for, they just expanded the PPP loans and did another round of those, but expanding that so people can use it for rent, some rental relief for people, not just for residences, but also for small businesses, because, you know, these moratoriums were going, but the rent doesn't stop. You know, these, and everybody thinks these are billion-dollar landlords. A lot of these landlords are small, are mom and pop. They've owned these buildings for life. You know, you look at a downtown in the district, they're not, these are not big landlords. These people need assistance too. You know, making sure that if there's this big $1.9 trillion plan, money actually gets to where it needs to go, to the people, not to bail out the state, who's $9 billion a hole, not to go to, you know, money where it's not going to be actually used for the people. So that's something I want to make sure gets done. But there's also talks now about re-upping the, getting the SALT tax deduction back. A couple new members I've been speaking to, and not might not be full restoration, but partial restoration, increasing the limit up or the deduction up to 20 from 10,000 to 25,000, you know, and keep going from there. But doing something to get to help the homeowners on Long Island, that's also something I'd like to see get done right away.
Good stuff. Finally, you mentioned you talk to Pete King a lot. The one thing, Congressman G, that you will take from him in this journey, what would be the one thing overall, maybe a common denominator in all the discussions you have, that you could take it to Washington, perform, help out that second district, oversee a lot of things? What would be the one thing you take away from Pete King?
You know, Pete and I think a lot of people that know him know this well about him. He was a very thoughtful person. He put a lot of thought into everything he did. He didn't just jump to a conclusion on issues because it's the way the party wanted, because of the way he always put a lot of thought into everything that was done, and he always, whatever he could do to produce for the residents of the second district, he always made sure he got the most out of it. People said he was very good like that. He's always very thoughtful in every decision he made. So taking that from him, you know, being thoughtful, thinking out everything, not just jumping to conclusions on issues, that's probably one of the biggest things I can take from Pete and what he did over his 28-year career.
Can't thank you enough. Good luck. Enjoy the moment tomorrow. And most importantly, be safe. And one more piece of advice. Get us the medicine. Not only for the second, but for the island overseas. Listen, just make sure we can get the vaccine if you can. Whatever you can do to help, because we need it. And again, we wish you the best of luck, and hopefully we'll have many a conversation this year. How's that?
I love it. I can't wait to be back on. Thanks, Jake.